Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Who Do Your Love? Conjure the Love You Want and Keep It by Star Cassis. Narrated by Rebecca Estrella. This book contains advice and information relating to herbs and other botanicals and is not meant to diagnose, treat, or prescribe. It should be used to supplement, not replace, the advice of your physician or other trained healthcare practitioner. If you know or suspect you have a medical condition, are experiencing physical symptoms, or if you feel unwell, seek your physician's advice before embarking on any medical program or treatment. Individuals using the information in this book do so entirely at their own risk, and the author and publisher accept no liability if adverse effects are caused. Introduction. Conjure, also known as hoodoo, the two names are often used interchangeably, and I will do so in this book, focuses on making one's life better. It focuses on the home and hearth, helping folks in everyday living. The main concern of a conjure woman is blessing their homes and keeping the home peaceful, making sure their mate is faithful, drawing luck, and much more. The way hoodoo achieves these things is by laying tricks or working the root. This is done through prayers, candles, lucky hands, and other means. Dirts, powders, salts, waters, and other ingredients are worked with in order to complete a job. There are many works that have been handed down orally through the ages. Conjure includes works on healing a broken heart by working with an animal heart, and works of healing and love as well as domination and controlling. You'll find all that here, and also learn a way of working with a cow's tongue to sweeten someone's words toward you. This book will cover what I call hard works and what others call hexing work. We have to remember all things come into balance. You can't have light without dark. And we also have to remember that conjure comes from a tradition that had to take justice into its own hands. So it deals with drawing in a lover as well as keeping one honest. I know some folks don't believe it is right to make someone do something against their will, and that is their right to feel that way. I, for one, don't have that issue, and if divination says I can go for it and it sits well with my spirit, then I'm going to do the work. You know why? I am responsible for every single job I do, and I promise I am not going to do anything spirit tells me not to do. I'm too experienced for that. When I was young, I got my butt spanked by spirit for not listening. Like my mama used to say, a hard head makes a soft behind. This work has never been about playing nice or being sugary and sweet. The ancestors who began working conjure couldn't afford to be. These folks were enslaved, and their lives depended on them knowing what to do to protect their families in a time when just looking wrong could get you killed. You have to get out of the 21st century mindset and go way back to a time when folks thought it was okay to own another human being and treat them any kind of way. We have something today that the ancestors didn't have, and that is the freedom to either do or not do something. So if these works are not for you, that's fine. We each decide what we will and will not do. I just want to give y'all a heads up. This is a little different than my normal writings. Peace. Be still. Although I have written about love, domination, controlling, and such in other places, this book will be a little different. This time, I'm going to add some old works. These are works that I learned when I was young. I have never written about them, and have only taught them to a few. But as I get older, I feel like they need to be recorded so they will not be lost. Yes, this book is going to have works in it dealing with animal parts. This is the real old-school work. These are works that many nowadays don't know, don't work with anymore, or just don't teach. If you want to understand this type of magic, you should have an understanding of our ancestors who practiced it. It may seem too simple to seem real, but you have to understand the ancestors were simple, down-to-earth people. They worked from daylight until dark. By the time the end of the day came, they were too tired to do an elaborate ritual. The work was practiced in their everyday life, from the way they swept their yards to the way they threw out old dishwater. So please don't be fooled by the simplicity of this type of work. It holds the power of thousands of ancestors behind it. There have been many a disagreement about Christianity in Conjure. Some will argue that the ancestors were not Christian, and others will claim they were. I feel both sides have part of the story right. We have to look at what we know and use our common sense to understand the whole picture. Let's look at what we all agree on. Slavers went to the African continent, and there they stole the ancestors from their homes to sell them into bondage. This is fact, and there's no denying it. It's also fact that they split up families, and not all the ancestors spoke the same language, and they didn't come from the same tribes and nations. They were placed in the hull of the ships, chained together like sardines in a can. Another fact is they were left in the hull of these ships with no windows for air, the dead and the living alike. The ancestors were a powerful people. Otherwise, how in the world could they survive all of those horrors just to get to a world they knew nothing about? Then, when they finally were brought up out of the depths of hell, they were treated no better than a dog or a wild animal. Once they were off the ship, they were usually put in cages to wait for their turn on the auction block, where they were humiliated by being stripped down with strangers' hands all over them in front of folks they knew nothing about. I cannot even get my head around the pain and humiliation they must have felt. My knowledge of history and stories that have been passed down from my elders, plus my own common sense, tell me that the ancestors were forced into Christianity, no matter how folks try to paint a different picture. There is no way in hell they would have been allowed to practice their religious beliefs and spirituality as slaves. I was raised in the Deep South, and I'm 6 and a half decades old. I know how it is there. And unless you come from there or you live there, you probably won't understand the culture or the folks that live there. I'm sure some tried to fight back, but that didn't do any good or help matters. In order to understand, you have to think back to the realities of that dark time of slavery. The ancestors were not allowed to look a white person in the eye, much less touch them. They could be beat or put to death for such an offense. So to think that they were not forced into becoming Christian is just ridiculous. Of course they were forced into it. They couldn't do anything or go anywhere without permission. Even so, the Praise House did become a safe haven for them, even if it was forced on them. The ancestors were very tricky and intelligent. They learned to let those old masses see what they wanted to see. The slave owners thought they ran them, but the ancestors found ways to worship and work their own magic. They couldn't have drums, so they'd stomp their feet and clap their hands. They were not allowed to meet, yet they could gather on Sundays at the Praise House. They were not supposed to visit, yet they did so under the guise of prayer in the Praise House. I'm sure by the second generation, all the ancestors had been forced to become Christians, but I believe that they became the kind of Christian they wanted to be. They knew the Old Testament, and they made it work for them. Even though they were forced into Christianity, it became a way of life for them. They used the old spirituals to share messages with each other. They used the chapters and verses in the Old Testament as codes. How can you not respect that? They did what they had to do to survive. They were a powerful, intelligent, tricky group of elders. They had to be. Everything they knew was taken away from them. All they had was their wisdom, dignity, and pride. Folks say Christianity is oppressive, and it is. The ancestors were already oppressed, so they made it work to their advantage. This work is not the same as what might have come from their homelands. Everyone should be able to see that. It's impossible. Conjure came out of slavery, and no matter how much we wish it weren't so, it is. I have never been one to argue with folks. I always let the facts and folks' common sense clear things up. Christianity has harmed a lot of people, and there is no denying that or changing the facts. The foundation of this work is the ancestors and the words of power they drew on from the Bible. I say that loud for the folks in the back. The blood of the ancestors flows in the earth we walk on, the earth that the roots, herbs, and plants we work with grow in, especially in the Deep South, where slavery was the strongest. The books of the Old Testament hold the words of power we need for our work to become strong and successful. I refuse to disrespect the thousands of ancestors who were captured and enslaved by removing something they added to this work. Every time a chapter and verse is prayed, it's not only the power of your prayer that is invoked, but also all those ancestors who prayed it before you. They should only be uplifted and never disrespected. Could you survive the hell they went through? There is power in the Bible, even though it has been changed over the years. I believe that every time a worker does a work and prays a petition, every ancestor who prayed that same prayer hears the call and is drawn to the work. Draw from the thousands that came before you. There is a power in numbers. Build on that power for success and for a better life. As a conjure worker, I work with the power of the spirits of place, dirts, minerals of the earth, herbs, roots, and curios, and the chapters and verses in the Bible. It ain't conjure if you remove the Bible from it. To remove the Bible is to whitewash the work, plain and simple. Still, to be clear, conjure is not a religion. It is a practice. Most conjure workers are Christian, but not all of them. Most workers use prayer in their work, but again, some do not. You don't have to be Christian to practice hoodoo. You can have any religious preference you want and still do this work as long as you keep the Bible in the work. Like many other types of folk magic, hoodoo attributes magical properties to herbs, roots, minerals, animal parts, prayer, petitions, and personal items. Although each generation adds its own twist to the work, the heart of the work remains the same. A living testimony to the beliefs of those who came before us. Hoodoo does not require a lot of elaborate preparation, expensive tools, or specialized knowledge. It also does not demand years of training in order to be successful. The most important tool you need is a strong bond with the ancestors and faith in yourself that your work will be a success. Not, "I think it will," but, "I know it will." Some people view this type of work as nothing more than superstition or the ancient remnants of an unenlightened past. To these folks, I say, don't knock it until you have tried it. In modern-day conjure, folks are led to believe that the work is done with roots, herbs, curios, and some dried animal parts. While it's true that you can do works with just these materials, there is more to it than that. Sometimes old-school workers used animal parts, and have since the work was brought over here by the ancestors in the times of slavery. This is authentic ancestral hoodoo. To the modern-day conjure worker, this may seem gross, but you have to understand back in the times of slavery, folks did what they had to do. The works I am sharing are things I learned as a young worker. Times change. But the works stay the same for most old-school workers. These works are not for everyone. That's as it should be. Being a conjure worker is not always sugary and sweet. Back in the days of the ancestors, this work was a necessity. It being a success could literally mean life or death. Back in the day, the ancestors worked with what they had. Most modern-day city folks can't get their minds around this type of living because in the cities, everything is right at hand. They think that even back in the ancestors' time, there were mercantiles in every town, and surely in every city. But the ancestors didn't benefit from these places. Only white folks did. The ancestors were not free to just pick up and go to town, or just walk down the road for that matter. They weren't allowed to leave the land on which they were enslaved. They absolutely had to work with what they had. Animal parts were a big work item back in those days, and they still are with some elders. Like everything else, there was a time to slaughter animals. With the slaughterhouses we have today, I think any time is a good time. But when the ancestors were here, they had certain times of the year to do it. I know from growing up that hogs and such are butchered in cooler weather, because in summer, chances are they may be full of worms. Small game could be killed at any time for food. As for my people, when I was growing up in South Carolina, they went to the store on Saturday afternoons. Half a day was spent either in the field, under the barn, or doing chores at home. Then after lunch, they would go to Lake City to shop at either Piggly Wiggly or Bilo when it came to the late 1960s or 70s. They got everything they needed for the week. At this time, most families still slaughtered their own meats. When you live in the country, almost every part of the animal is utilized. Nothing goes to waste. So I'm sure this work wasn't cheap. I'm sure the barter price was high because it was taking food out of the mouths of the family. The ancestors have always been paid for their works. No one works for free. Why would they? In modern times, we think of payment in the form of money. But money was scarce back in the day. Only rich folks had it. So food, roots, and herbs and such were bartered. In order to really understand the ancestors and what they went through, you will have to get out of the modern-day mindset. When I said this book is going to be different, I meant it. Also in this book, you will learn works using animal parts. First, let me say, no animal should be harmed. Hearts and tongues may be bought at the meat market. Next, I want to remind folks that this work comes out of the time of slavery, when the ancestors worked with what they had. Most of the time, parts of a slaughtered animal were what they were given to eat, not the prime cuts. There are a lot of works, even cleansing works, where animal parts come into play. Modern-day hoodoos don't know nothing about it unless they are working with a beef tongue trying to shut someone up, or have an elder who has taught them. You ain't gonna find this on the internet. You will have to get out in the communities and find an elder willing to teach you. I'm writing about it here because I feel the work is being watered down and lost by these so-called modern workers. I'm not dogging anybody. I'm just telling the truth. If you want to learn the real work, then hit the streets and find some elders who are willing to teach and share with you. Most of the information about root work has been passed on by word of mouth from one family member to another, or through a worker who didn't mind sharing information. There is not a lot of written information out there, except for the work gathered by Mr. Harry M. Hyatt. Hyatt traveled the South talking to conjure workers and gathered thousands of pages of information, although he himself was not a worker. He was a retired minister. I'm old school, so everything is in my head and in the stories I tell my students so they can retain the work, or what I write about in my books. The ancestors were very smart this way. You can forget a book you read, but you will never forget a good story that touches you in some way. I can remember the first job I was ever taught by my Nana to pull someone back working with seeds. Why? Because it was a lesson, but not only that. It stuck with me. God has blessed me to be able to put my words on paper and teach in order to help others learn. There are many other gifted teachers, writers, and workers out there. I've learned how to do the work from family and old folks I've met along the way, along with my own ability to understand the work. There are others who have also been taught by folks they have met or by family members. They may teach or work a little different than I do, but it is basically all the same. It really depends on what area of the South you come from. Methods differ, but the foundation will always be the same. I'm a conjure woman, plain and simple. This is how I was raised and what I live by. I have done conjure work for over 40 years. I'm very blessed my mama kept it old school when she raised us. She kept our home as close as she could to the culture she grew up in. I'm very grateful for that, even though at times folks thought she was really weird. That never stopped her. She just kept on doing what she was doing. She shared so much wisdom with us growing up. But at the time, I thought, oh, that's just some of Mama's craziness. My mama ate all kinds of food, so it wasn't odd to see her wrap a chicken heart or other animal heart up in white freezer paper and put it away in the freezer. I didn't have a clue it could be worked with until I was in my early 20s, and she isn't the one that taught me this. I learned about saltpeter in my early 20s in my mama's kitchen. She didn't tell me what it was for. She just said, "That's your daddy's medicine," when I asked her what it was. My sister told me, and we had a great laugh over that one. Conjure/hoodoo doesn't have a set of rules to follow per se. Conjure workers don't follow a reed, a rule of three, or any of the other New Age stuff that is out there. You are responsible for your own actions. Some folks may feel like it is wrong to do some of these types of works, and that's fine. If you feel it is wrong, then don't do it. We all have to answer for our actions, and we are all responsible for the works we do. I personally don't do works that are not justified, or that the spirits that walk with me tell me not to do. I learned this lesson when I was still in my teens and just learning to work. Spirit sees things we cannot see. We don't know what our actions might bring. Always consult spirit before doing any type of spiritual work. Always remember every action causes a reaction, and sometimes the reaction from a work just isn't worth it. The best way to learn about conjure and what makes a work justified is to keep an open mind, to read all you can, take some classes, and talk with other workers. Find a mentor. Don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that one person has all the answers. They don't, myself included. Expect to see folks who work different than you do, or how you were taught, and who make different choices about what's justified. If we all worked the same, there would be nothing to learn. A note on the structure of this book. There are some folks for whom this will not be my first book, and others who know something about conjure. Those folks can jump right into the works if they want to. But if you are new to conjure, or just need some more background, look to the sections between the chapters that can fill you in on the basics. Calling a name. Justification and reprisals. I have written a little about this in some of my other books, but I want to go a little deeper with the subject here, since this book will have a lot of what I call hard works in it. And also, if we are talking about love, it can be so hard to get clear of our emotions and see what work is needed. In today's age, with the internet and this work being put out all over the place, you have folks trying these practices that really have no business doing it. They have no training and no mentor to guide them in the ethics of the work. And from what I have seen in the era of the internet, they feel they can do whatever they want to and expect to get away with it. They can, until they run up on an old-school worker like me and some others I know. People can go into conjure and get it in their heads that folks have it in for them. Or they can do divination or get a reading from someone who may have nothing more than a YouTube video or read the book that came with their cards as training and think someone is throwing at them. I'm bringing this up because I have seen it over and over again. You would be shocked at how many folks believe they have a family curse or someone has cursed them because of a reader telling them they are, and even going so far as to give them names of people they feel is throwing at the person. Don't get me wrong. There are gifted readers out there who have trained to do divination and have the foundation to know how to read in a way that doesn't alarm the client and put fear in them. They know what to say and what not to say. Readers that have no training are not blessed with that foundation. I also want to be clear on this. I am in no way, shape, or form saying that folks don't have bloodline issues. They may, or that they can't have a crossed condition or a curse on them. They can. Can an experienced reader help them? Yes, they can. But I doubt they will be giving out names left and right. What I am saying is be mindful of your actions when it comes to this work, because when you are wrong, you become the target of your work. We have to remember that every action causes a reaction. Every hit that is thrown goes somewhere. And if that hit is unjustified and the target is in tune with the spirits that walk with them, they will feel it. Then they will start doing reversals and clearing work. Then what happens is the sender gets hit with their own work. Most of the time, it is stronger than what they sent, because the target is calling for justice as the original hit was unjust. Remember, the work is going to go right back where it came from. If you have or do a reading, and it shows you are being hit, and the reader calls names, or you jump to conclusions yourself, don't just start throwing at that person. Be smart about it. Pray on it, and petition your spirits to guide you. Sometimes you don't have to do anything. Spirit takes care of it for you. Just please look at every angle before you jump in. This is just my opinion, but I feel that folks don't take this work seriously because it seems so simple. Please don't be fooled. In the hands of a seasoned worker, this work can be deadly. Everybody and their mama is throwing roots nowadays. This work is no game, and folks really need to think, pray, and do divination before they even consider throwing at someone, much less calling a target's name. Even if you know for a fact, if you caught someone throwing at you, you still shouldn't call their name out. Even if you have them pegged, you don't know if they are the only ones working on you. Perhaps that person got help. If you call their name and reverse on them, fine. But the work will just continue hidden from your eyes through the others. Like my daughter always says, you have to be smarter than the average Joe. You have to remember where this work comes from and how it came to be here. You also have to remember not everyone is like you. There are a lot of shady folks out there. You may be wondering how exactly you can do the work without calling out the target's name. No worries. I am going to tell you how. Most folks, when they are told that someone is throwing at them, get upset and fearful. When we do this, we draw that type of energy to us. As a young worker, I often heard from my elders, "Plant the seed, the tree will grow." Meaning that once the client hears that someone is working on them, it just grows and grows. If they haven't been thrown at, they will still pull that type of energy to themselves by focusing on the fact that they were told someone was working on them in a reading. It is better to remove that anxiety instead, and that can go for when your emotions run amok with you about a love interest, too. So the very first thing that needs to be done is a cleansing to clear away the fear and shift the focus away from the idea that someone is throwing at them. Dig the seed up, so to say. I would suggest doing a brush down with a white stick candle and petition your guardian angel to remove whatever is there and for them to draw in clarity and give you protection against this threat. Make sure to cleanse the head well, as that is where our spirit sits. You should just sit quietly and watch the flame of the candle burning. Take 3 deep breaths and let them out slowly to clear the spirit and bring in clarity. You should start to feel more relaxed and be able to focus. You should be clear-minded. Let the candle burn completely out. Take a nice warm bath and just relax. Try to keep the reading from coming back into your mind. Get a good night's sleep, for tomorrow the work starts. You will need a space to burn your stick candles on. You can cover the space with a white handkerchief. You need a glass of cool water and something fireproof to burn your candle in. You can either say your own prayer, or you can say the prayer for the guardian angel that can be found online. I have always found that a prayer that comes from the heart is the strongest, But some folks are unsure how to pray and find it easier to follow a written prayer. When you have everything ready, then you can start. I was taught to
sample complete. Ready to continue?